If you want to make a difference in the world, a difference in the people around you, and a difference in the company you work for, you have to tune in to this episode we're having today. Our guest today is David Katz, founder of Plastic Bank. David is an award-winning entrepreneur whose work has gained global recognition. He was named one of the world's most compassionate entrepreneurs and has received numerous awards. He also has an incredible TED Talk, The Surprising Solution to Ocean Plastic. Please check it out. You're listening to the Learn It All podcast, the podcast where great leaders aren't born or made. They are constantly in the making. I'm Damon Lemby, the CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has upskilled over 2 million individuals over the past 3 decades. I'd have to say that David is one of the most inspiring speakers I've ever known. And today, if you want to learn how to focus on the right things, really get things done, and how to turn everything, good or bad, into a gift, you're going to want to join us for this episode. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby and Darren Bridgen. We are joined today by a very special guest. Let me run down this bio because it's pretty impressive. So David, you're just going to have to put up with like the full bio here. David Katz is a recipient of the United Nations Lighthouse Award for Planetary Health, the Paris Climate Conference Sustainia Community Award, Ernst & Young Lifetime Achievement Award, the Globe and Mail Report on Business Magazine's Changemakers Award, and named the Entrepreneur Organization's Global Citizen. Been on BBC, CNN, Time Magazine, Forbes, Fast Company, Business Week, National Geographic, has a very popular TED Talk that I highly recommend you go look at. Been in documentaries, and this one surprised me, a reality television show, which I do want to hear a little bit more about at some point. David Katz, thank you so much for joining today's episode.
Sure. Thank you. Beautiful that you created the space for this conversation, and both of your work is super beautiful and inspiring and important for everyone. So a gift to be here. Thank you.
So David, thank you so much. And like I mentioned before, ever since we booked this interview, I've done some research on you. I've learned a lot about your organization. And can you just start off and share with our listeners the powerful thing that you've put out into the world known as Plastic Bank?
Yeah, you know, and the Plastic Bank is just the expression of the thinking. So I'll bring that to life in advance here, because it's not as much the Plastic Bank that I want to bring forward, but to the way of being that can create it. So I'll come back to Plastic Bank for a moment. And if anyone listening has ever traveled anywhere that they've witnessed poverty, like poverty, true poverty, there's poverty throughout the United States, of course, abject poverty here, and certainly around the world in areas where people live under a dollar a day. We can imagine that condition. Ask yourself, what do those people need? What do they truly powerfully need if they have less than a dollar a day? Sometimes no dollar in the day. What do they need? Clean water, food, opportunity, a place to live, meaningful work, education, hope, medicine, bandages, minutes, power. I mean, we go on and on about what the base of humanity needs, the billion or so of us. Imagine that area. Imagine the condition. Imagine where those people live. Do you view them as being harmonious with nature, clean and free of garbage? Or are you simultaneously aware of the enormity of degradation and garbage that they also live in? When I ask you what type of garbage, most recognize that it's plastic garbage. So in those areas, with those people who live in that condition, that need that basic opportunity, and that live as well then fraught with the overwhelming mountains of garbage, that's where we work. And we use one problem to solve the other. We have what we refer to as stores for the poor. A beautiful basic store that provides everything that they need. Garbage would otherwise flow in the environment, flow into the ocean as a currency. So that everyone has an opportunity to solve the basic painful issues that they experience daily. Need pain medication? Don't have money? Collect some plastic. Need access to doctor care? Insurance? Need to put your children in school? Don't have the money for it? Enough plastic will pay for it. Schools, places of faith, those are our stores. In proximity, so that everybody could just walk their household material to a location where it's transacted as a currency. That's what we've done. We're true alchemy. Taken what was worthless and turned it into gold, but beyond gold. Beyond gold. Because it's beyond the very physical, finite, linear value. It's the exponential benefit of it all. Because what value truly is education for your children? It's not just education. It's not just the few dollars a month that you would be paying for the tuition. It's not the literacy that the child would receive. It's the end of your poverty. And that is priceless. So it's the exponential idea inside of it, taking something that was worthless, looking at it differently. Look at it differently and what lies there. And then we all know what occurs when we have hope. So provides that space. I think with family members, we affect about 250,000 people currently. Yeah. Bringing additional hope to 250,000 people. It's really beautiful.
The fact, David, that you were able to do, to kind of go above and beyond, like you could, what I'm getting at is how you came up with this idea, because you didn't just like look to solve a single problem. You actually took two challenges that people had and you mashed them together.
I did. Well, I argue that because that wasn't the intention. So there's so much more in the business as well. We could get to it later about how we sell the material. We provide banking because the more frequently someone collects or returns the material, they earn financial inclusion, literacy, and they ultimately have access to zero interest loans. So we give credit worthiness based on the frequency of the material. No shoes, doesn't matter. No house, doesn't matter. No previous income history, doesn't matter. Continue to collect material frequently enough, and we can substantiate your reliability, which is what a credit score is. So instead of being susceptible to the predatory microfinance loans of the world, we get a zero interest loan when you pay back with plastic. So there's more inside of it as well. But I didn't choose to solve both issues at first. I was inspired by the ocean's edge, the very place where I went to for solace. That's where I would escape the tragedy of my household as a child. I'd go to the beach that was across the street. I would build forts. I would be with the sea anemone and the fish, and I would find my peace there. And that's where I would always go to in the end. And over the course of time, I began witnessing 40 years ago the beginning of the wave of garbage. And then, as I am inspired to go back to the ocean's edge, that's where I like to go. And I began witnessing the enormity, and I recognized that there was something that was going to need to be solved in humanity. It needed to be at least viewed. It needed to be an awareness needed to emerge. And in it, and the recognition that it's plastic not the issue. Well, why is plastic in the ocean? Okay, do I need to solve the plastic in the ocean, or should I be solving the very root of why plastic is in the ocean to begin with? And if I look at that and I can say, oh, the plastic is coming from areas of poverty. 80% of the plastic we see in the ocean is coming from areas of extreme poverty, period. Oh, so it's not plastic in the ocean I need to solve. It's poverty. And then the question is, if every piece of plastic that we encounter was easily exchangeable, locally exchangeable, every piece was exchangeable for $5, how many would we still see flowing into the ocean? How many would you see in the garbage can? Any? Of course, the poor don't throw money away. But even in that paradigm, I allude to the knowing that it's got nothing to do with the plastic. It's all us. It's the way we've been viewing the material. Of course, we're in a society today where we want to vilify the external. We want to blame the world, and we want the world to change for us. Unwilling to be so vulnerable where we can open and go, oh, how I change changes the world. And therein lies the idea. How might I change the soul, the conscious being, to view life differently? How can I create a space where I provide choice? That's the work.
One of the areas of what you spoke about that I really resonated with, which I thought was great when I was learning about Plastic Bank, was giving these individuals the opportunity to build credit. Because to me, if you don't have that and you don't have a place in place to start, but being able to do so and giving yourself that self-worth is a great place to start helping with you changing your mindset around how do I start making a difference?
Leverage. I know that the poor are the most resourceful. If they're not resourceful, they die. They're already resourceful. And yet somehow in our space, we have already determined the tier four and above societies believe that when you're poor, you're credit risky, where in fact you value it so much that you realize that it becomes a tool, and it's such a gift, and that you can be exponential with it, and that it's a tool to be used, and you can see that you could lift and end the poverty and the suffering of you, your family, and your community. There's just as inspired to be in service as well, as is the basic human condition. But when you live in the very, very base with no hope and no ability to ascend, to become actualized as a person, of course, you live in the very base. My children died from preventable flu. They died from fever. How many children die every day from basic fever? So solve those things and we'll ascend, and we'll create a society where the impoverished can grow and they can lift and they can begin to create the exponentiality so that poverty can solve itself. You see, you can't donate the end of poverty. You cannot donate the end of poverty. We create the condition where it can leave, where it can solve itself. And inside of it is an abundance. It is an abundant mindset. It's a prosperity mindset. You see, we move beyond people, planet, profit to people, planet, and prosperity. Prosperity. Also an abundant mindset. It's a mindset of gratitude. Also a part of the thinking inside of what we create, gratitude, to look at things differently. Look, plastic, grateful for plastic on the ground. Remarkable.
It's brilliant. It seems like, I mean, in such a classic way, you're really presenting this very iconoclastic, kind of provocative view, which is to just almost invert everything. You know, like you talk about the plastic being diamond and gold. Like, look from a personal point of view, like people are out there, oh, I got to make it. I got to do all this stuff. It's like, just stop, look at everything and challenge it and almost look at it in the complete opposite way. And the world starts to open up.
I guess, but beyond that, I'll tell you that it's about just choosing it. Choose it to be that. You don't need to challenge anything. It's a resistance. Choose it to be powerful. Choose it to be remarkable. Choose it to be a gift. See it that way and it'll be so. If you don't see it, look harder. Choose life. Choose abundance. Choose gratitude. Choose beauty. Choose love. Instead of react to the world, resist it, judge it, be attached to the things you think should be or shouldn't be. Oh, it's futile. Oh, gosh, just choose the world as being beautiful and see it. Because that's the thinking of plastic bank. That's the work.
You have such a wonderful, wonderful perspective and big thinking and changing the world. But I know from what I've learned about you, you come from a very, very difficult background, right? And a lot of times coming from a background like that, you can either be a victim or it's hard to push out of it. How have you been able to push through that and become to this place we're at now?
Choice. It's the same conversation. This is the beauty of it all. I'm able to look at it and choose it again and not fall victim to what society has told me it should be. I choose it again. That's all. It's a moment by moment phenomenon. Every moment I choose it as being, oh, okay, what was cool in that? And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's like, oh, what? Like, hold on, I gotta be with this for a second. Hold on a second here. Okay, start to look. Okay, it's there. But I have an awareness. I have an awakening in me that I can take anything and go, okay, start looking. I can still be with the pain of it and go, oh, man, that really hurt. That kind of sucked. But okay, I get to come through it quickly and start to look for the gift of it as well so that I can emerge powerfully, knowing that the gift lies inside of it. Now I can resist it and not receive the gift and then lie in the self-diminishing story of the unfairness or the injustice of what's occurred. And I can go through life being right that I was wronged. Or I can say, oh, that was a gift for me. That was beautiful. And transform in the experience.
I love that addition, choose it again.
Choose it again. Because you chose it to begin with. You weren't even aware that you chose it.
You're right. That's right.
You just programmed yourself to choose things the way they are. Oh, that's bad. You already chose that it was bad. You're not aware that you chose it. Choose again.
Is that why you think we even like have to have this conversation? Because people aren't aware that they're choosing it. It's like in a certain sense, it feels like, of course, this makes so much sense. Why do we even need to have this conversation? Why aren't we already just doing it?
You know, because we believe we're the ego. We believe we're our thoughts. This is a beautiful work of Eckhart Tolle and Michael Singer and Alan Watts and Ram Dass and the consciousness movement here, which is the beautiful space in between our thinking and our consciousness, the work of Viktor Frankl, all that stuff. The space between condition and response lies a moment where we can choose. And in that moment lies the destiny of our lives and the destiny of our society and our universe. In that very moment between condition and response lies our lives. And most people don't know that there's a space. They listen to their thoughts, thinking they're their thoughts. They don't realize they're the ones listening to the thoughts. Who's listening to the thoughts? Oh, okay, hold on a second. There's a distinction between the two. And when we can bring society to that place and we can say, oh, I'm not the thinking. I'm not the degradation. I'm not what I think. I'm a co-creator in the universe. I mean, you know, we could be in the conversation that we're born in the image of God. And I think in that expression, the way that I choose that to be is that I am a co-creator. I'm born in the image of co-creation and creation in the universe. And then my image is to find others to be in the creation of the universe, to choose. And to not to be in the thinking of good or bad. but to come into the infinite creation of the universe. I mean, it's super beautiful. I mean, it's just like, for me, it's just become so self-evident and powerful and delicious and alive. It's such a blessed life. And I'll give context here as well. A story that I'm encouraged to speak more of, because I think it creates an awareness and a space for people who have been through, tragedy. 6 years ago now, Father's Day, I was in New Zealand away from home where the phone rang, and I was there with my wife at the time, and Dad, are you sitting down? And all I could say is, oh, please let it be the dog, let it be the dog, let it be the dog. No, he was calling to tell me that my daughter had died overnight. And in that moment as well, I was able to be with, choose the, okay, there's a gift here somewhere. There's a gift. So I said, that's fine. Give yourself to the grief. Give to the grief, but continue to look. And so I went through the whole 30 days of crying every day and not getting out of bed and the whole thing, but I was able to emerge. I emerged powerfully to be able to see the gifts that lie. Now, here's the thing with that is that if you pay the price, like if you can't change it, what's left to do? What's left is to look at it and go, oh, I paid the price in full in advance. What beauty lies here? What is emerging here? Look for it. It's beautiful. And I've been able to experience a depth of love and a profundity of gift in all of it. It's been remarkable. It doesn't take away from the loss and all those things and the pain that others had. And God, it was beautiful. You can't change it. If you can't change it, what's left to do? I equate it to going to an amusement park. If you're terrified of roller coasters, you step up to the gate of the amusement park, and there's a gate. You got to go through security. You got to actually get in. You got to pay your price in full in advance. It's all day ride. You can hear people screaming, the machine's going, your heart's pumping. You pay, you walk in. There's no refunds. What's left to do?
Live life.
Ride the ride.
Yeah.
Pay the ticket. Take the ride. Live. Be alive. That's it. You can't change it. There's no refund. There's no more to no out. It doesn't matter what remorse or grief or I. And the challenge with so many is that they take on an identity. So this is this turning this back, this conversation, is that most people take an identity with themselves being right over the way the world should be or shouldn't be. And then they fight to be right, that things are unjust or bad or people did wrong or whatever it is. And they stay in that identity and they will fight to be right instead of happy. I just want to be happy. I don't care if I'm right. What do I care if I'm right or wrong? Great, I'm right. Who cares? I choose joy.
I mean, otherwise, you could either put yourself in almost like a prison, right? Like you're in prison, like I'm stuck here. You know, I've earned this. This is bad. I'm a victim. I'm stuck here. But what I hear you saying, David, is, you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. I'm going to get myself out. I'm going to live life. I'm going to be happy. You know, regardless, what happens, happened. I can't change that. So I could take my story, like your story, and help others or live my life and just be happy and move on. Because what else? What other choice do you have? What choice do you have?
Exactly. Amen. That's it. That is the choice. That is making a choice. Because life is choice. This was the conversation as we bring this through. You see, I have a choice. I have a space between condition and response where my life lies. Most people don't recognize there's a space, so they therefore never believe that they actually have choice to make a decision. This is the conversation.
I feel like, though, you also acknowledge that it's all a journey. So the journey isn't that you like feel like perfectly happy every moment, because you did go through grief. I mean, that was part of it. Because I think sometimes people feel like they need to and just immediately jump into everything's great.
No, you know, I feel it. Feel all alike. Don't need to stay there. But at the same time, what I was able to do is go, I'm choosing grief. because I love my daughter. I miss my daughter. I will grieve her. And I'm choosing it now. And at one point it'll emerge and I'll choose newly again. And it's beautiful that I do. And because I've got an audience here, I'm going to share this story. You see, I came across the Japanese art of kintsugi. It's an art that takes heirloom family pottery. You can't buy this at the store. Heirloom family pottery, intergenerational. If it breaks, they bring it back together with gold. In essence, they glue it back together with gold to highlight the beauty of the break. I've discovered there's no word for anyone who's lost a child. There's no widow, widower, orphan. Kintsugi is the name I give to parents who have lost children to highlight the beauty of the break. And that being and that knowing has touched, I've touched so many lives with that. It's been so beautiful, so powerful. It's brought so much healing, so much joy has returned to the earth. In that, it's one of the gifts I receive in the spirit to serve and to bring peace to people. Beautiful thing. I mean, I could go on and on. Kintsugi. Yeah. So if you or any of your listeners, it's a beautiful metaphor. If anyone here knows someone who's stuck as a parent, that's lost, give them a new identity. As much as I purport to not attach, but this is a beautiful attachment that can take you through a step to find a new way of being, a new sense of identity. Oh, I am Kintsugi. I'm the beauty of break. Oh, I can hold my head up again.
That could play in so many different areas too. I mean, somebody could identify in a certain way, right? Say, for instance, athletes who career come to an end, they identify as a, like for me, I was a baseball player, right? And then I struggled for a couple of years afterwards, like, what am I now? But think about the beautiful break, right? You had all that and it turned it into a gift, right? Take what you learned and use that moving forward. Very powerful.
I kind of want to like make that the new gift for people is a little bit of gold for people, like especially new families starting out or anybody. It's like this gold is for you to turn breaks into kintsugi. You make business personal. Like you're out here in this sort of buttoned up professional world of business, making a difference, helping. But you had to work with business for this to happen. It's fintech. How, like, can you help listeners feel like they can make business personal in this kind of way that you have?
But it is personal. It's all personal. It's your experience of life. What are you choosing? Are you choosing are you deferring the joy, the very present moment of your life for something in the future because you think it'll occur then because you don't think you have enough, because you already have a condition that society has given you that you'll only be happy when? Or do you choose my life is flourishing and alive and powerful and amazing and I remove the attachment from dollars? I'm so alive, it's crazy. And the more alive that I am and the more abundant that I am, it tends to attract more abundance. It's a beautiful thing. It's remarkable. And there's winning and there's winning and there's learning and winning and learning and learning and winning. And it's all beautiful. It's remarkable. It is your life journey. Like you get to choose it now and be alive. And I can tell you that the more of your being that you are, the more alive that you are, the more aliveness you have, the more people want to be with you and do business with you and trust you. And there's an essence of love in it. You can't give that you don't have. And when you've got that sense of love and being and presence, that's the richness that you share. That's ultimately the hope of it all. And so you get to have it now. But what are you waiting for? And I get it. You know, I get it because we struggle and we think, oh, you know, if only I can have this or that, or I've got to prepare my kids and things, and I do that, and oh, my mother-in-law is sick and stuff, and oh my goodness, and everything else, and we feel an overwhelm, and I got to make payroll still, and oh, my receivables are high, oh my goodness, what's it going to mean about me? Am I a failure if I don't collect the money and I can't make payroll? What will happen? I get it. And it's way less serious than you think. And it's not about you.
I love that. And a lot of times I think, David, that we look at some of our biggest problems at work, right? Especially like we can't make payroll, might go out of business. And rarely does the worst case scenario even happen, right? You know, so why spend so much time worrying? Right? So why waste
rarely.
Why waste your energy on that shit? Instead of put the energy into focusing on how to make it happen, right?
Right. And absolutely. There's a distinction there too, because a lot of people will go about trying to create the condition. I'll just use the word bankruptcy, just as an extreme. I'll try to create the condition against bankruptcy. But yet they spend no time creating the condition for prosperity. And what you resist will persist. You continue to create that. That's all you're thinking about. You continue to attract then energetically that space. And it comes from fear. And it's a scarcity mentality. So then you're living in a scarcity mentality. So of course you're not experiencing the abundance that is available because you live in scarcity. But the abundance of it all is like, life unfolds as it unfolds. And it's not to say that you're careless. Or cavalier in business. No, of course you're a co-creator and you're doing your best and it's amazing. And I want to win. And I love competition because, they're doing that. Well, okay. I got it. I'm on you guys. Fine. In an abundant world, they're there for me. And I continue to try to strive and create more value and a condition of prosperity for everyone. Absolutely. But I don't make it mean that I'm not good enough or smart enough or whole enough or everyone's worst fear. I don't make it mean that I'm not lovable if it doesn't work. And most people, and I speak from my own experience, that most of the journey was a fear that I would prove that I was not worthy of being loved. And that my wholeness, my essence was conditional. And I experienced so many entrepreneurs show up at first trying to prove themselves to be lovable, good enough.
So David, let me ask you this. And I understand a lot of it, you have to look inward for everything, right? Inward. But what part of it is a leader's responsibility to help their people? Let's say I'm leading a team, I'm leading an organization. Is it just by me, my actions going into, you know, speaking my act, you know, I talk a good game and I live out those actions? Or how can a leader help their people? I don't know if it's called self-realize or whatever, that they can have the confidence to love themselves and be successful and be happy and be productive.
As it's your own personal journey, it's not something that comes overnight, and it is a being, and it's a becoming, and it's a lifetime in the pursuit of it. But you can't give that to anybody else. You can be it, and you can be that essence in the world, and you can be the sense of peace and love and joy and abundance that creates a space for people to see the possibility of it. You get to be the awakening for others. Now, as a leader, as an organization with hundreds of employees, I also get to look and say, who's seeking? Who's already on the journey? Who already lives in a prosperity mindset or knows that there's more and is curious enough to look and is vulnerable enough to be wrong? So that we can journey together, so that our conversations are profound and we speak with depth. And so we have a human journey on a daily basis, which is the richness of life. And then we all win and we're all prosperous and rich today. You see, that's the thing. It's rich. Truly rich. It's rich.
That is a business I want to work at.
Right. And that's what we attract. And that's what we have. And those are the people with us. And when we look at, in a business conversation, we look at, let's Yoni's work with the 5 dysfunctions and those things. We want to break down the dysfunctions of team. It's about vulnerability. It's about a place of safety, transparent, all of those things. So this is the essence of it. You see, when you come to that space, that's the essence, and it allows a person to be themselves. And back to the previous conversation, which is the fear of being wrong or not lovable, you create a space where people are seen. And you create such an environment where you're whole. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I made a mistake. Amazing. Well, let's learn. Let's share it all. Don't care. What do I care? You're whole and amazing and remarkable. And you tried. It was awesome.
I love that.
I encountered big, beautiful, powerful logo of our company is simply, it's a hand. It's a hand with the world in it. I came across the modalities of motivation. I shared this with Meredith too, and it's so important. I love to share this. I think it's an important conversation for your listeners. And in the modalities of motivation of children, it was a very large study. I forget how many tens of thousands of children. Just tens of thousands. And they studied it and they looked at the 3 modalities. And the one modality of acknowledging that the outcome of the child's work was a motivation for children. 100x factor, something like that, above that, the modality of acknowledging how hard they worked. 3 of the outcome, it didn't matter. You worked hard. Great, you worked hard. 1,000-fold factor above that was simply looking the child in the eye and giving them a high five to see the soul of the child, just to acknowledge them as being whole. Didn't matter how hard you worked. Didn't matter what the outcome was. You're perfect.
David, can I tell you a little story? Last week I was in Reading. That's where my wife's mom lives. And I have 2 little kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I was listening to your interview with Meredith Bell on Grow Strong Leaders. You talked about this. And I came back and later that day with my 6-year-old. She showed me what she did. And I always, I'm a big believer in effort, right? Effort over, I don't care if it's perfect. Who cares? Just freaking do it, But I'll tell you what, what I did at the end of it? I high-fived her and I gave her a hug. You should have, I get goosebumps talking about right now. You should have seen the look in her eyes, David. You should have seen the look in her eyes about, it was so beautiful. You know what I mean? And it's just, and that's why I wasn't going to let you get through this conversation without bringing this up. That was my one thing. it was Lucy, the look she gave me. And obviously you can't turn around and hug your people at work. You could high five them, or maybe you can, who knows? I don't know. But I just wanted to share with you. I wanted to thank you for giving that to me to be able to.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you. Oh, thank you for that. Oh, beautiful.
So just know you touched my family's life with that.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you for that. Oh, see, we just, the soul of the person, the value and the core values of the company is love, the verb. It's not the feeling. I talk about this as well, that love, the feeling, is the fruit of love, the verb. You get that from Stephen Covey, rest in peace, Stephen Covey, from the 7 Habits. And that you feel a sense of love when you're in action, when you serve, when you do for the other. It's the core value of our company, to be in service, to do. And to do ultimately is to build abundance, to see newly, to choose newly, to create, to be, to high five.
Create creators.
Create creators, creating creators. Amen. You see, it's not the company. You see, this is the thing. This is like, this was the big, relevant, so beautiful, juicy, delicious way of being in the world. And the plastic bank just shows up with it, because the truth of it is that in your being, then the world just shows up around you in that being. It's the craziest thing. It's amazing. That's it. There's no way. There's no method. There's no system. To do this, A, B, C, and how many people like, oh no, show me the system. There's no, it's an essence. Praise the way. Amen.
Yeah. David, it accepting that worldview and being steeped in that worldview, and you're always sort of meeting life in this open, curious, and abundant way. Do you still also like point your attention, you know, like, I want to do this, or I want to create that in the world?
Yes, of course. I choose it. The thing is that I'm choosing this creation. I'm choosing this customer. I'm choosing this win. I'm choosing that. But I don't, and I don't need to have a reason to choose it. This is the thing. So it becomes powerful when I remove the reasoning, which is the ego attachment to the outcome. And I say, I choose this. Why? Because I choose it. And there's a conversation I get, and I powerfully get this from a Landmark Worldwide, a beautiful consciousness training that comes in a beautiful weekend in Landmark. And they've got this big expression like, you know, chocolate or vanilla, choose. And people would say, oh, chocolate, and they'd ask why. And like, they give you these reasons, like, no, choose, you can't. Like, and ultimately, you know, this conversation, like, no, I just choose it. And I don't need to have a reason for anything. I need to be free yourself. Because all of the choice, all of the reasoning is a past-based conversation. And you see, when I choose from the past, I'm more likely to recreate the past. When I choose newly from nothingness, I can choose the future. I'm not recreating anything. And that, in as well, is the work of Plastic Bank as well, to create newly. You know, that was a big task at first as well, to choose to be that newly. Like, I don't know how to do that. I have no idea. No one's ever done this before. I don't know. But I'm going to choose newly the way I believe the world could work. And I'm going to go create it in my words. And I'm going to speak to enough people that this is a way of existence. And in my words, I'll create destiny. Well, it's first from our thought to our word to our action to our habits, which are our values, which is the destiny. That's a beautiful quote attributed to Gandhi. Watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become your words. Words become your actions. Actions become your habits. Your habits are your values. And your values are your destiny. Awesome. Change your thoughts, change the world. This is the entirety of our conversation today.
It starts with the choice, right? You know, understanding that you have a choice. And I think if you take that back a step before, it probably just means that you got to be okay with failure or embarrassment, right? And understanding, like, who really cares, right? If
what's embarrassing? There's no embarrassment.
That's what I mean.
There's no embarrassment. What do you mean embarrassment? What's embarrassment? What's failure? It's not. Those are all past-based conversations. Oh, when this happened, someone told me that I was looked foolish, and then I, or whatever. And so, yes, like, in agreement with all of that, exactly. When we stop believing that we can make a choice, and then I come back into the condition that this means that I'm not good enough, so now I'm embarrassed. And humiliation is a cause of suicide. Crazy. And so when I come back out of the thinking again, and I get to choose, and I know that everything is, I can, like, and I can look at everything and go, oh my God, that was so funny. That was hilarious. When my can't split open in front of 1,000 people on stage. Oh my God, everyone was laughing. It was great. My God, I'm a comedy genius. I didn't even plan it. I'm a comedy genius. And walk around proud. Or you could die of humiliation. choose.
You can stick yourself. You can stick yourself in a box.
Amen. You're in a box, one way or the other. Choose the box. And I'll go on to express it in the leadership, because this is the conversation around it. I tie this back, and then the leadership of it, as I choose it to be, as I choose it to be powerful, as I choose it, I'll take this example, as I choose to be a comedy genius, and I live being the comedy genius, my thoughts and my words and my actions are, I'm a comedy genius. It creates a space for everyone else in the world as well to heal, to put the story down of the humiliation, to go, oh, I too was a comedy genius. So it becomes healing for all. Your healing is a healing for all. I'll finish with Plastic Bank has been my healing journey. And you see, as I healed and I was able to learn all these things and put down all of these stories and all of these old ways of beings and thinkings, as I heal, the world is healing around me. And that's the truth of it all.
Love it. Well, David, this has been, I don't know, fantastic, you know?
kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, I would say so. And as we wrap up here, I stole another one of your lines, David. You know, I wrote a book called Learn It All Leader, Learning. But you know what I love that you said, and my team's heard it too many times, is, I know we're wrapping up, but I couldn't leave you without saying, you know, learning without doing is treason. Love that one.
Right. I read this book. I did this. You've applied nothing. Got it. Oh, treason. Treason.
Right. Yeah. I want to say a special thank you to Meredith Bell, who introduced us to David. And I'm just, again, it is an honor to have you here. Listeners, please go check out plasticbake.com. Thank you, everybody. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. And until next time, keep learning, stay curious, and good day, everybody. Thank you.